In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So it's been interesting with the richness of this text that we have. My thoughts have gone in a few different ways. So I thought I'd share a few things with you this morning as we begin. It's no secret that I'm a young priest. I've only been a priest now for about 3 years. And in my 3 years as a priest, I've been called arrogant, misogynistic, every kind of phobic known to mankind, idiotic, evil, mean. I've even been called a monster. So my daily routine goes something like this. I wake up in the morning, say the daily office, and then think to myself, well, who am I going to make angry today? So I tell you that because there are many different ways that you can take these things, these readings. My job is to get you to think about things in ways that you've never thought of before. My job is not to proclaim the mainstream. My job is to proclaim Christ crucified. So, having that in mind, we come to this wonderful scene of the money changers in the temple and the anger of Christ. The fact that he makes this whip and drives out all the animals and drives out all the money changers. And everybody cheers. And everybody wants to make this kind of an ideal of social justice. There's a very great danger in that. There's a very great danger about making this only about social justice. Now, don't get me wrong. That's not to say that social justice is not an important aspect of Christianity. But to see only that in the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ is to crucify him every single day. We come to this story, and as I said, we cheer. We want to see ourselves as part of the marginalized, part of the downcast, and everything else. I'll give you a perfect example. Who knows what the most hated person is in America right now? Donald J. Trump, right? Whether you agree with him, disagree with him, or not, I don't think it can be debated at this point that he is very greatly disliked. You know who the second most disliked person is in America at this point, in this age? A straight, middle-aged, male priest. That's just the way it goes. So, when I stand up and say something, I don't expect everyone to agree with me. But it's probably something important when I say it. So let's examine closer the joy of chasing out the money changers. You have, within the context of the money changers, people who are in the temple, in God's temple, were actually changing goods. And let's be honest, it's very hard for people traveling to the temple to stick their prized cow in their pocket and travel across the Judean countryside to sacrifice it. So they had to have the ability to buy animals for sacrifice there. Okay, that's a good thing, right? Money changers would have been there. However, they weren't supposed to be within the courts. That was bad. That was unclean. Furthermore, Jews are not supposed to have idols. Well, stamped on the coin was an image of Caesar. And part of that image of Caesar and part of the use of that coin was to show that Caesar was Lord. That's why the readings that we have today in the Old Testament couple with "Thou shalt have no other God before me." So getting back to social justice. Now you see the reasons that Jesus actually chased these people out. But notice that they asked him a question. By what sign do you do this? And he gave them an answer of destroy this temple and I will raise it in 3 days. Showing that he is the temple. He is the very word of God and has come for a specific purpose. We get confused and we like to think that it is for the marginalized only, for the oppressed only, that it's not for people like the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the money changers. When you begin to think like that, you ignore the fact that all of mankind is broken and sinful. Christ did not come to free simply the oppressed from the oppressors, but to restore all of creation, all of mankind, moneylenders, Sadducees, Pharisees, slaves, Gentiles, Jews, everyone. He came to restore everyone. And the danger we run in today is we want to make that everyone a specific group, a specific set. And when we do that, the Prince of Peace becomes Prince of only victims and victors. He cannot be the mode and method of salvation. He cannot be the conqueror of sin and death for everyone once and for all. He must be what he is. He must be fully man and fully God. But that means that he has taken on the mantle of every man, woman, and child that ever had been and ever will be. Both the marginalized and the well-to-do. Reconciling all to him. What good, to put it another way, if you were to have a house fire, what part of your house would you want saved? The family room or the house? That's a different way of looking at things. We are supposed to be empathetic to the marginalized and the oppressed. We are supposed to actually do something about those things. But it is not only about those things that we are supposed to do something. The good news is to be preached to every man, woman, and child at all times. And people are supposed to be allowed to make their own decision. The foolishness that Paul talks about is the fact that you have a group of people, us, that worship a God that supposedly died. What good is your God if he only dies? What good is God if he only dies? The foolishness is we believe that he died and was resurrected. And it is not foolishness to us. It is actually what empowers us to go to the marginalized and the oppressed, but also to those in power and those with privilege. It is our responsibility to speak into every aspect of life, not simply those that we deem most worthy or most beneficial or easiest if that were true, and we were to only go to the marginalized, if we were only to go to the most worthy, I would not be waking up every morning going, "Who am I going to offend today?" My job is the same as Paul's. Your job is the same as Paul's. To know Christ and Him crucified. And to speak that into a broken world in every place that you find yourself. That is amidst your work, your play, your school, your business. It's interesting. Many of us don't get that. Yet there's a competitive eater. His real name is Randy, but he goes by the name Atlas. He's got YouTube videos, and he's really neat. He's a funny guy. But he actually did an eating video here in Valpo at Kelsey's Steakhouse. But the interesting thing that you begin to realize as you watch Randy is he goes through and he gives his spiel. And he talks about who he is and what he's about to do. And that changes. And the one thing that is most important to him, the one thing that never changes, as you see him prepare, right after he does his little big smile and raises his arms, he gets ready to eat. And the first thing you see him do is bow his head, cross himself, and turn his hat around. This man, without knowing it, speaks Christ into every single person's life that watches his video. And it matters not one bit whether it's a marginalized person or whether it's a well-to-do person. He has an impact that he doesn't even realize simply by him acting Christian. So I invite you to consider the salvation of the money changers this Lent. Amen.